Well, it's a great privilege to be with you this morning. Ashley and I have been looking forward to being with you for some time now. Kevin tried to arrange that we came last summer, but didn't work out. But it's great to be with you this morning, and we look forward to sharing a bit more with you later on about the work we're doing in Fujairah. But I want to ask you a question to begin. If you had to go on the streets of Dundalk and ask people their thoughts on who Jesus is, what sorts of responses might you get? I'm sure you get all sorts of different opinions. Or if you ask your friends or colleagues at work who they think Jesus is, what might they say? This is actually a good thing to do. It's a good way to get into evangelistic conversations with people. It's something I find quite helpful. But what sorts of things might your colleagues say? What would they say to you if you asked them who Jesus is? Well, you would get lots of different answers. Perhaps you would get the answer that Jesus is some sort of revolutionary, a revolutionary figure who comes along to shake things up, who wants to represent the people, the working people, a kind of Che Guevara type figure. Or perhaps you might get answers like Jesus is some sort of guru, someone who's wise and inspirational, someone who can give good advice and help you to be the best you that you can be. Or there's hippie Jesus, Jesus who wants to teach everyone just to embrace the values of peace, love, and recycling, to chill out and not to judge. Or there's open-minded Jesus who loves everyone except for those who are not quite as open-minded as them. Or there's no-fun Jesus who wants to come along and add lots of extra rules and take all the fun out of life. Of course, all of these are exaggerated, but no doubt we've met people who have had views that are similar to these. Perhaps we once did as well. That's the sort of thing I hear in Scotland and in England, and I'm sure it's similar here. Well, today we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. I'm going to look at the first six verses together. So that's Hebrews 3 and the first six verses. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all of God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of glory, more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of the house has more honour than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope. First of all, a bit of introduction. The passage begins by saying, therefore, so it wants us to keep in mind all that's come before. So what exactly has come before? Well, the text highlights how Jesus is supreme over the angels, how he's supreme over mankind. It also shows how he's the author of salvation and how he suffered for his people. And the author is telling us to keep this in mind as we move on to the next section. And in verse 1, he calls the audience holy brothers or holy brethren. But they were by no means perfect. They were not sinless. But they had been sanctified by God. They were in Christ. They had put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And that's why they were able to be called holy brothers. Not because of anything they had done, but because of what Jesus had done for them, because of whose family they were in. They were adopted into the household of God. If we look back to chapter 2 and verse 11, it says this: For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he's not ashamed to call them brothers. Did you spot that? Jesus calls them brothers. For those who are believers, for those who know and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our brother. And that's something that's truly remarkable. It's not something we think about often. But Christ is our brother when we're adopted into the family of God. And these brothers, they had to share in a heavenly calling. Together as believers, they had this exact same calling. And we see that in chapter 2, verse 10. And that was to bring many sons to glory. So God, we get to be used by God on mission, whether that be in our school or university, at work, in the building site, in the squash court, at the toddlers group. We are on mission with God. God delights to use us to point people to his Son. God delights to use us as we tell people about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not all called to be Bible teachers, but we are all called to be Bible sharers. And there's lots of great resources out there that help us to do that, isn't there? Some resources that I like to use in doing this is what's called the Word One-to-One, or Uncover, which is basically on one side you've got the text, and the other side you've got some questions, and you can begin to talk to people. You can ask them, would you like to read this with me? Read one of the biographies of Jesus. And no doubt, people often say yes. Some say no, but that's the worst they can say. It's a good way to begin conversations with people, to open up the scriptures with them. And when the scriptures are opened, God speaks. And this is what's been used in the student world in the UK. And I've seen lots of people come to faith recently. It's been really exciting. No events, no gimmicks, no nothing. Just God's word being opened and God speaking and life's been transformed. So let us all be Bible sharers. We're not all called to be Bible teachers, but we can be Bible sharers. So the first thing I want us to observe about who Jesus truly is, we've thought about how the world sees Jesus. Well, what does this text teach us about who Jesus is? Firstly, we see that Jesus is our ambassador. Verse 1 says, consider Jesus the apostle. Fix your eyes on Jesus the apostle. That might sound a little bit strange, doesn't it, to hear Jesus being referred to as an apostle. Quite unusual. Well, here it's teaching us that Jesus is our ultimate ambassador. He's our representative. He's the ultimate apostle, the one who's been sent by the Father. And he was sent with the Father with a message, and we see that in chapter 1 and verses 1 to 2. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Jesus came to live the life that we could not live, to die the death that we deserve, and to purchase the gift that we could never afford. And that's a truly amazing thing. Friends, if you're a follower of Christ, then Christ is your ambassador. But consider this, we also have to be ambassadors for Christ. We represent him wherever we go, at school, at the workplace, at the gym, wherever you happen to go throughout the week, we represent Christ. That's a great blessing, but it's also a great responsibility as well, isn't it? How have you been representing Christ this week in your life? It's a challenging question. Secondly, we see that Jesus is our mediator. It continues, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Jesus is our high priest. What exactly does that mean, that Jesus is our high priest? Well, in the Old Testament, the priests would mediate on behalf of the people before God. They would perform the sacrifices. They would come to the Father on their behalf. The priests had to mediate on behalf of the people. So it's crucial for us to understand today that because Jesus is our high priest, we can now approach the Father ourselves through the Son. And as Hebrews 4 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. We no longer have to operate through earthly mediators, whether that be priests or pastors or popes, whoever. Jesus has broken the barrier. He has established a new covenant and made it possible for us to have a relationship with God. Because Jesus is our high priest, we can come to God with boldness. Paul reminds us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Jesus has made it possible for us to come before the Father as pure and blameless. I wonder, friends, is your trust in Jesus the High Priest? Because each of us will stand before God on that day. Has Jesus died taking the wrath of God for you? Or will you stand before the throne of God alone on that day, guilty and condemned? Well, if you're here this morning and you know that you're not a Christian, that you know that you don't know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, cry out for mercy. Cry out that God would save you, that he would adopt you into his family, that he would wash you as white as snow. This is true no matter if you're 5 years old or 95 years old, that Jesus is our only mediator. So call on him this morning. So far we've only looked at the first verse, so let us move on to the rest of the five verses that we're going to be looking at. We've looked at so far how Jesus is our ambassador and our mediator. But as the text moves on, it talks a lot about Moses. So what exactly is the flow of this argument? So Moses, he was faithful to God. He wasn't perfect, but he was used powerfully by God. And we read about Moses in the Old Testament, and we see that he's pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a signpost pointing forward. But the Jewish people, they would have been absolutely amazed by this comparison in this text, saying that Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses, because to them, Moses and Abraham were about as perfect as you could possibly get. And so the author would have, this was really striking to the people he was writing to, that Jesus was worthy of more glory and honour. Why is this? Well, Moses, he had led the people out of Egypt. He'd led them out of slavery to the Egyptians. While Jesus, he leads out of slavery to sin. Moses had received the Ten Commandments. He had written the law of God. But Jesus is the Word of God in human flesh who came to dwell among the people. Moses was a servant, yet Jesus was a son. Well, Ashley and I live in the United Arab Emirates, and when my parents came to visit, we had to do some of the touristy things. And so we went and saw the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. We got to travel up to the top, and the views were absolutely outstanding. It's such a remarkable building, it can be seen from 95 kilometres away on a clear day. And if you go up to the observation deck, you can actually see as far as Iran on a clear day. The building breaks 7 world records. And when you see a building like that, you can't help but think about the architects and the designers and the people who built it. It's absolutely amazing. So it says here, for Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of the house has more honour than the house itself. So Moses, he didn't build the house, but he was part of the house. The builder is the one who gets the glory. And Jesus, he's the builder. And that's why he deserves far more glory and honour than Moses. So next we see that Jesus is faithful. Moses was faithful. He was a great example. He was faithful. But Jesus, he was completely faithful. He's the ultimate example of faithfulness. Moses, he failed. He sinned. But Jesus never sinned. Jesus never failed. He was completely faithful. He was faithful to the Father. He perfectly carried out his will. But he's also faithful to his people, dying in their place and for their sin. And now he intercedes for them before the Father. He was faithful, he is faithful, and he will remain faithful to the end. He will sustain you. If you're a follower of Christ, he will sustain you. He won't let you stumble or fall. I wonder if you're a Christian here this morning who's struggling, you're wrestling with doubt or having a real hard time. Well, remind yourself of the faithfulness of Christ. Christ is faithful to you. And this is something, should be something that gives us great comfort and joy. Jesus' faithfulness does not depend on you. And praise God for that. But friends, we are called to be faithful to him as well. Faithful wherever we go. Faithful in our workplace, in our family life, in our schools or universities or wherever we happen to be throughout the week. Yes, we sin. Yes, we make mistakes along the way, but we must persevere to the end because of what he has done for us. And we all know people that will let us down. Our friends will let us down at times. Our family will let us down. But we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never let us down because he is faithful. He was faithful to the point of even death, death upon a cross for his people. We also see that Jesus is creator. Moses was part of this house, but Jesus was the builder. Jesus has created the world. He's created you and I. He's created the amazing scenery we see around. He's the one who flung the stars into the sky. As we look around at nature, and we see the majesty of God. But we also see that Jesus is creating something else. He's creating his church. All around the world, people are being added to this house. The church is growing. People are coming to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's happening here in Dundalk. It's happening all over the world. It's happening in the United Arab Emirates. People are putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and lives are being transformed by the gospel, as the gospel is explained simply to others. I know that sometimes it can feel like it's slow work, that things aren't moving fast enough. We feel sometimes like there's little fruit, but we can be assured that God is at work drawing men and women and boys and girls to himself. And we need to be crying out to God that he would continue to do that. He'd be pleased to bless us in this way, to see more and more people come to know the Lord Jesus. I mean, also, we can pray and we can speak to people and we can share with them the good news. But we know that it's not down to us to change hearts and minds, and what a comfort that is. It's the Lord that changes hearts. It's the Lord that changes minds. All we can do is be faithful and open our mouths. He does the rest. And what a comfort that is. And lastly, we see that Jesus is the Son. Moses, he was a servant of God, yet Jesus was the Son. He's the Son of God. He's faithful because he's the Son. In Colossians 2:9, Paul says, In him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. He said in Philippians 2:6, though he was from God, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself. And then in Hebrews 1, verses 2-3, it says, in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom all he created the world. He is the radiance of God's glory and the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by the word of his power. And then later in Hebrews 1 it says, of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, forever will last forever and ever. And then John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, he's the Creator, the Faithful One. He's the Son of God himself. Jesus is the Son, and we come to him in faith. And when we are adopted into the family of God, we too are connected to that family. We are adopted into the family of God. And what an encouragement that is, that we can be counted on to be part of God's family when God adopts us. So our confidence has nothing to do with what we've done, nothing to do with what we've said, nothing to do with what we've prayed, but our confidence can be found in what Jesus has done for us. So in conclusion, the question, who is Jesus, is something that's of central importance. It's important here in Ireland, it's important in the Muslim world as well. People have all sorts of different views about who they think Jesus is. Jesus the revolutionary, Jesus the guru, Jesus the hippie. But we realise that all these views fall short. And today we've seen that Jesus is the ambassador, the mediator, the faithful one, the creator, and the Son. And as we see these things, we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with them? Do we accept that Jesus is our ambassador and our mediator? Do we submit to him? Do we bow the knee before him? Do we live our lives in obedience to him because he has poured himself out for us? Are we faithful to the one who is faithful to us, dying in our place and for our sin? Is it our desire to bring glory to him? Or do we only want his blessings without us having to be faithful? Let us live lives of gratitude. Do we adore the Creator? Do we bring glory to the Son? Well, friends, let us be people who embrace the Lord Jesus Christ for who he truly is and point others to him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who you sent for us. Lord, would you help us to always remember who Jesus truly is? Help us to be faithful to him, to adore him, and to bring glory to him. Lord, help us to persevere. Lord, we know the gospel so well, but Lord, we pray that you would help it never to become so familiar to us that it loses its beauty and its awesomeness. Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, who hasn't put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, would you be at work in them this very morning? Would you be revealing yourself to them and drawing them into your kingdom? Lord, I pray these things in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.